Joshua, the commander who obeyed the commander-in-chief. That's the title of today's message. Joshua, the commander who obeyed the commander-in-chief. Of course, taken from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30, from the heroes of faith, which is our overall topic or theme for the series. And then the historical narrative, Joshua chapter 5, verse 13, all the way chapter 6, verse 16. As we come to the book of Joshua, particularly today as we are into chapter 5 and chapter 6, Joshua was at the threshold of his service unto the Lord. He has a very historic mandate. And last Lord's Day, we meditated from chapter 1 of Joshua, the mandate God gave to him, very historic, that is, taking the Israelites after more than 400 years of life in bondage, finally entering into the promised land, capturing the promised land, possessing the promised land, and building God's kingdom, the promised kingdom in the promised land. God gave that opportunity not to Moses, although Moses was faithful in all the Lord's house. Moses could not get that privilege because of one disobedience that we meditated the other day. But things go on. God continues his work in this world, and he raises a people. So after Moses, now Joshua. Although people differ, God's kingdom plan continues. And that's what today here we come. The mantle now from Moses fell on Joshua to take Israelites into the promised land. Now, how Joshua will accomplish this historic, very significant mission for God's people? And this is what important, and that's what we have been learning from the life of Joshua. This was a mission that Joshua has to get it done, not by Joshua's strength, but then how? That is the point. By the will and by the way of the Lord. Joshua has to accomplish the plan the Lord has for himself and for his people, not with Joshua's strength, not with Joshua's wisdom, but by the will of God. By the way the Lord has planned for his people. The Lord personally appeared unto Joshua in chapter 1, and the Lord very clearly gave him the commission. Last Lord's Day we meditated from chapter 1 of Joshua. You may remember a very clear assignment God gave him. Joshua, these are the territorial boundaries that you and your people enter into the promised land and capture. Very clear assignment. Then a very clear assurance. Joshua, I will be with you. My presence will go with you. And then a very clear encouragement. I will be with you. I will give you the courage. Do not be afraid. The courage, the confidence would be from God. And then finally, the clear authority. God's holy word, you must obey the commandments I have revealed unto Moses. Joshua, you have to keep the commandments, the instruction. In other words, not Joshua's way, not Joshua's will. Joshua understood. Joshua marched forward. And when we come to chapter 3 of the book of Joshua, we could see they crossed the Jordan River. That was the first test, by the way, for Joshua and for Israelites. And they could do it very successfully, crossing of the Jordan River. And then after that, they came to a place called Gilgal. That was the first town where in the promised land, very close to Jordan River, they were able to encamp. They were able to be there. But this was just a beginning. Just a beginning for Joshua and for the Israelites. There would be greater and major challenges ahead of Joshua and his people. Enormous challenges Joshua has to face. As we read through the pages of the book of Joshua, we could see page after page as we turn to enormous challenges, one after another. But one thing very encouraging as we look into the life of Joshua, Joshua never gave up. Joshua never gave up. In the midst of all the challenges that he has to face, he trusted in God. And that's where this morning I want to particularly highlight from the Battle of Jericho. Chapter 6 particularly, Joshua chapter 6 particularly records for us the Battle of Jericho. How did Joshua and Israelites fight the battle at Jericho? And we learn wonderful lessons from this very example. That Joshua did not give up. Jericho is going to be a very heavy task upon Joshua and the Israelites. And in fact, Joshua knew this is going to be a very major task, a very gigantic task in front of him. But you just heard what I read from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30. The author of Hebrews records not many things from Joshua's life, just one incident. Chapter 11, verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Take note. That was the only statement about Joshua's life. The author of Hebrews recorded there and added his name as one among the heroes of faith. That one incident was more than enough to substantiate what was Joshua's life. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. What God told Joshua, Joshua and his people were able to obey exactly, word by word for word, because Joshua, the commander of the Lord's people, obeyed the commander in chief. It's none other than the Lord God Almighty. My dear friends, as I take you forward on this thought, let me just remind you, every day, as we being Christians, every day we are in battle. Every day we fight battle. What are the battles we fight every day? Sometimes it can be sickness. Sometimes it can be our financial struggles, and today this is being a pandemic season, almost everyone today we talk to, they have a story to tell. Some lost their job, some worried about children's education, some worried about children's future. There are many boys who want to get married, or many girls be given to marriage. Parents are very much worried what to do in this situation, finding a suitable boy or a girl, and then financial needs and how handles things, whether we would be affected by this pandemic. You know, nowadays, few months ago we were talking about a virus happened in China, Wuhan, and then it went to Europe and then America, and then it came to India. But today the story is no more in Wuhan, no more in Europe, no more in Delhi. It is right here. And that's the stories that we hear. Our own families, our own neighborhoods. We are afraid, right? We are concerned. Some of us are unnecessarily frightened. This morning, I want to remind from this chapter, Joshua chapter 5 and chapter 6, in this battle that we need to fight, learn from the life of Joshua that we are not alone. God is with us. For Joshua, the battle of Jericho teaches. As Joshua fought that battle, and for Christians, it teaches us a lesson. As Joshua being the commander of the Lord's army, Israel's army, as he followed, as he obeyed the Lord's command, the Lord's instruction, the Lord was with him. And that's what chapter 5 and chapter 6 of Joshua reminds us. God's presence, God's guidance, God's involvement was there with Joshua. Are you facing the life battles? Are you fighting the battles in your life with the presence of God? Some of you are facing enormous temptations, sinful temptations, lustful temptations. Sometimes when we counsel the youngsters or even older people, I hear people saying, problem with lustfulness. And by the way, it is a problem for all of us, whether you are a child or young man or older ones. You know, it's a temptation for all of us. How do we face it? There's a battle. How do we face it? This morning I want to remind God's church, you and I, my dear friends, let us face the battles that we need to fight with the presence of the Lord with us. And that's what Joshua did in this battle at Jericho. Three things from this chapter we will briefly meditate this morning. Number one, the prelude of the battle. The prelude of the battle. The commander-in-chief appeared unto Joshua. As Joshua was concerned, Lord, how am I going to face this gigantic walls of Jericho? By now, Joshua and Israelites, I told you earlier, they already crossed the Jordan River. They encamped in Gilgal, And from there he can just look forward, look up, gaze ahead of him. And he knew about the very city of Jericho, because he already, chapter 2 of Joshua, he already sent spies to spy the city Jericho, and they came back and they gave him the report how fortified the city Jericho, the strongholds of Jericho. Joshua, being a human being, he had that concern in his heart. Lord, you have already assured me that you would be with me. Chapter 1, we already meditated, clear assurance. But still, Joshua is a man. A man like all of us. Lord, how would I take this people 40 years? I have experienced just in front of my eyes how these people were rebellious, unbelief, all these things. I know, oh Lord, would they stand together with me? Would they listen to me? Will they support me? Or will they rebel against me as they have rebelled against Moses? The very concerns, genuine concerns of Joshua. But my dear friends, so encouraging as we read chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. Let me read once again. So encouraging, listen carefully. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man. There stood a man opposite of him, and with his sword drawn in his hand. Oh. It can be a very frightening experience. Joshua, maybe slightly away from the people, he might have gone to pray, as he is a man of God, as a pastor, as the leader of Israelites. He might have come out of his tent, from his family, to pray, to be alone in the presence of God. Suddenly he saw a man, a stranger, definitely a stranger. And to be a frightening scene, he has his sword drawn in his hand, means ready to strike, ready to fight, ready to attack Joshua. But Joshua composed himself, kept his calmness in his heart. Art thou for us? He asked that man, or for our adversaries. But now listen, verse 14, how that man answered, and he said, no, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. I am the captain of the Lord's host. I am the captain of the Lord's army. Take note, L-O-R-D, the capital letters. Who was that man? And you tell me, who is the captain of the Lord's army? This was not just a normal angel, my dear friends. I want to remind you, commentators more or less agreed, this was none other than the second person in the Holy Trinity, the Lord God Almighty, the covenant-keeping God, Yahweh, L-O-R-D, who is the commander of the Lord's army. Who is the commander of the Lord's army? The commander of the Lord's army is not Gabriel. The commander of the Lord's army is not any of those angels. The commander of the Lord's army is the Lord God Almighty himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. The pre-incarnated Christ appeared unto Joshua. What an encouragement. The prelude of the battle. When Joshua was concerned in his heart, Lord, how would I face this walls of Jericho? How would my people stand up against the threat Joshua was encouraged and strengthened. The commander in chief came down from heaven. The commander in chief came down from heaven. And Joshua recognized, interestingly, Joshua recognized, this is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnated Christ. How? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped him and said unto him, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" He worshipped. He recognized, this is none other than the Lord God. And then verse 15, "And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose your shoe from thy foot, for the place where you stand on is holy." Joshua, this is none other than the God who appeared unto Moses, the God who appeared unto Abraham, the God who appeared unto Jacob, the God who appeared unto our forefathers. Joshua, remove your shoe, your sandal from your foot. This is a holy ground. Joshua, this is a holy ground. And interestingly, the last phrase in verse 15. The last phrase in verse 15. And Joshua did so. Joshua did exactly what the Lord commanded. In other words, he recognized this was none other than Yahweh. The appearance of the commander-in-chief. And I call this as the prelude of the battle. The battle is going to be fearsome, frightening, as the mighty forces of Jerichoites, the fortified wall, it's not a normal city, Jericho, very high walls. If you want to understand how strong was the walls of Jericho, you know, you need to just historically study it. People even built, army men even built their dwelling places on the top of the walls to fortify, to see this the entire city. Mighty walls. No one would be able to climb in the normal way. And the entire city was fortified. What strength Israelites have? 40 years they were in the wilderness, wandering. And many of them are very young. Only Joshua and Caleb, they are a little bit more old. Young generation, not very much experienced in battle. How will they be able to defeat the powerful Jerichoites? That was the concern for Joshua. Joshua came. Joshua sat alone, looked unto heaven and prayed. And the captain of the Lord's host, Yahweh, appeared unto Joshua. My dear friends, let me move on. This is my point. I want you to keep in your mind, keep in your heart. God appears to his people according to their circumstances and needs. This is what A.W. Pink recorded in his commentary. God appears to his people according to their circumstances and needs. Take note of this. To Adam and Eve, the Garden of Eden, for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, when they sinned and went away from God, God came down from heaven and appeared unto them as a restorer. God wanted to bring them back into the relationship. And the first sacrifice we could see in the Garden of Eden to forgive Adam and Eve's sin, God did it so. And God covered them with the animal's skin to cover their nakedness. And that was the very need for Adam and Eve. A restorer, God, was right there. When they were so sinned against God and went away from the glory of God, from the presence of God, under the wrath, under the condemnation, God appeared as a restorer to Noah, as an entire generation was in sin and under condemnation. Genesis 6, God appeared as a great deliverer. God wanted to deliver. Of course, only one family was delivered because they trusted in God. That was Noah's family. To Abraham, when Abraham and his son Isaac was on the Mount Moriah, Abraham was there to obey the command of the Lord to sacrifice his own son. And his son asked, "Papa, where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? We have everything for the sacrifice, but where is the lamb?" Abraham said, "Son, the Lord would provide." And behold, the Lord provided. Genesis 22. The Lord, for Abraham, the Lord was a provider. And when we come to Moses, when the call came, Exodus 3, as the Lord prepared Moses, as the Lord called Moses, the Lord appeared unto Moses, and to Moses he appeared as a great revealer. "I am that great I am, Moses." And that was exactly what Moses wanted. "I am that great I am." The very name of God, the very nature of God, he revealed unto Moses. To Joshua, as he is now appointed as the captain of Israelites, he wanted an assurance from the captain of the Lord's army. And the Lord appeared him there as a captain for Joshua. "Joshua, I will be with you. I will fight the battle for you." And that's what exactly God told Joshua. "I will fight the battle for you." My dear brother, my dear sister, can you see God in your circumstance? Can you see God in your need? Would you turn to God? All these forefathers just now I mentioned, whether it was Noah, Abraham, Moses, Joshua, when the call came unto them, even Adam, when the call came, they came unto the Lord. Take note of that. That's why for Adam and Eve, the Lord became their restorer. For Noah, the Lord became their deliverer, because Noah obeyed the Lord. Abraham, God became their provider. Abraham obeyed the Lord. For Moses, God became the great revealer. He wanted to follow the Lord. And Joshua, "Lord, this is my life." Joshua did exactly what the Lord told. No matter whatever situation you go through, my dear friend, today or tomorrow, whatever situation, even in this pandemic season, remember, the Lord, He is the Commander-in-Chief. He is the Commander-in-Chief, the one who holds our life. He is the one who is in charge of our lives. Would you come to Him? Would you listen to His voice? Now, as we move on to the next, from the prelude of the battle, the appearance of the Commander-in-Chief, the plan of the battle, the plan of the battle, the command of the Commander-in-Chief, the Lord now tells exactly to Joshua what he has to do for this battle. Verses 1 to 5 in chapter 6, Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 to 5, and particularly verse 2 onwards. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into your hands Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. You shall encircle the city. All the men of war go round about the city once. Thus you need to do it all the 6 days. And on the seventh day, you shall march around the city, all the men of war, and you shall go around the city. Then this you shall do 6 days, and seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of rams, horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. Then it shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people should shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and all the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Very, very straightforward, very specific instructions the Lord gave, the plan for the battle. In summary, this was the plan. It's going to be 7 days battle. 7 days battle. And interestingly, this battle would be won without a fight. because God is the commander-in-chief. God is the commander-in-chief. Interestingly, verse 2, you take a look into verse 2, the Lord very specifically told Joshua, I have given Jericho into your hand. In other words, God has done it. As far as God is concerned, Jericho was already captured. I have given Jericho into your hand, Joshua. You and your people just go and possess it. That's all. For which the Lord specifically spelled out. This is the plan. 7 days, first 6 days, all the men of war, all those who are maybe 30 plus, a little bit more, you know, that age group, you have to go one round. First day, one round. Second day, one round. Third day, one round. Like that. 6 days, go one round. And the priests, seven priests should carry the ark. That's very important. The ark of the Lord. And if you know chapter 3 and 4, when Israelites crossed the Jordan River, again, same thing, we see the ark carried, the priest carried the ark, because the ark symbolized the very presence of God, as the Lord already promised, my presence would be with you. So the battle that you need to carry forward, not with your own strength, but my plan, my presence, with my presence. So the priest need to carry the ark. So seven priests have to carry the ark, and seven trumpets made of ram's horn. They have to blow every day when they go one round. The priests who carry the ark, and together with the trumpet, they need to blow the trumpet once. But on the seventh day, seven times, they need to encircle. And they need to blow the trumpet. And finally, a long blow. And when the people hear, everybody should shout, oh, Jericho, we have won. And when the trumpet sounds, what would happen? The walls of Jericho will tumble down. What does it communicate to us? Much more than a battle strategy. Much more than a battle strategy. We see in this God specifically spelling out the plan that he has, how Israelites need to carry out the battle plan. In other words, they could not do as the way they wanted. God's plan, God's will. My dear friends, as we live in this sinful world, many times we are tempted. As we are Christians, we are tempted. I want my own plan, O Lord. I want my own way, O God. The Lord tells us this morning, my dear child, my dear son, my dear daughter, it is not your way, it is not your plan, it is not your way. But would you follow my way? And this morning I want to tell very clearly, God's way for your life, God's way for my life is very specific. Very specific. Lord, my son is going to complete 10th. What should I do next? My son is going to complete, or my daughter is going to complete 12th. What should I do? Or my son is going to graduate from the university. Lord, what should I do? Would you come to the Lord and pray? Or your child is coming to marriage age. Would you commit unto the Lord in prayer? Or looking for a job? Or even your own life planning? So confused today. And we are in a very confused world today. Remember to pray. Remember to come to the Lord. And I believe what chapter 5, 13 to 15, I believe Joshua was there alone in prayer. Because Joshua has a habit of getting up very early in the morning. When we come to the next portion, we see that. Verse 12, Joshua rose early in the morning to execute the battle plan. He got up very early in the morning. What early in the morning that he had to do? I believe, spend sacred and secret hours with the Lord in prayer. Take note of this. Take note of this. We want to know God's will and God's plan for our lives. You may be highly educated man, thinking that, oh, I have this degree and this thing, and why should I pray to the Lord? Humble yourself, my dear brother, my dear sister, humble yourself. Joshua, he involved in many battles, by the way. Joshua involved in many battles during those 40 years of wilderness journey. At the battle with the Amalekites, I told you last week, Joshua was there as an assistant of Moses. Joshua went all the way to the promised land to spy. Joshua involved in many battles and an experienced man, but still, be silent in the presence of the Lord. Lord, guide me with your wisdom. I'm not sure what my son is going to do. He is confused. I am confused. Lord, what is your plan for my child? What about my business, O Lord? These are very difficult times. Lord, let me depend on thee for your wisdom. Guide me. My son is in the marriage age. My daughter is in the marriage age. What choice I need to do? What choice my daughter need to do, my son need to do? Lord, give me wisdom. Let your will, let your plan. Would you spend time in silence and pray and commit? God's will and plan is so specific. And we must know what is that specific will and plan for my life, for your life. How would you do so? Remember to spend silent, secret time with God in prayer. Finally, the third thing that we learn from this, from the prelude of the battle and plan of the battle, we come finally into the practice of the battle. The practice of the battle. God specifically told Joshua, how would you do? How would you go about capturing the city Jericho? And now Joshua has to put into practice. And that's what we see from verses 6 to 16. The practice of the battle. And this is how he practiced the obedience of the command and his people. Joshua obeyed exactly, as we read from verse 6 onwards, exactly. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on, that we need to encircle the city. Let him that is armed pass on before the ark. All those who are armed, able to carry, you know, men of war, they need to follow the priests and the company. And it came to pass, verse 8, when Joshua was spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets. So every day when they went around once, blew the trumpets, and like that, 6 days. First day nothing happened, second day nothing happened, third day nothing happened, fourth day nothing happened, fifth day nothing happened, sixth day nothing happened. Did they give up? Did they give up? Tell me. By faith, the walls of Jericho tumbled down. It was not man's accomplishment. If it was man's accomplishment, they would have given up. Maybe first day, second day, third day. Oh, this is what? Let us go back. Let us go back. This is, we are making ourselves fools. Such a gigantic, mighty walls of Jericho. What are we doing? What are we doing? They did not give up. First day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. They did not give up, my dear friends. Then on the seventh day, Joshua rose us like the other day, early in the morning. Encourage everyone, get ready. Let us all be ready. Oh, priest, come. Carry the ark of the Lord. Take on your hands, in your hands, the trumpet. Let all the men of war get ready. This is the day. This is the Lord's day. This is the day of victory for us. Joshua did so by faith. And very encouraging as we read through the story, we read through the narrative, the people did not question Joshua. They followed. They followed. And that is a very important point that we see here. The people cooperated, worked together, stood with the leader, and followed the exact design. Exact design what the Lord told. And finally, verse 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day, they rose early, about the dawning of the day. Remember, Lord's work requires haste. Lord's work requires haste. Don't serve God half-heartedly. This is our life. Woke up early in the morning, about the dawning of the day, and encircled the city after the same manner, seven times. And that day, seven times. And the priest did exactly, and it came to pass at the seventh time, and the priest blew with the trumpets. So first time, second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time, sixth time, nothing happened. But they did not give up. And seventh time, seventh, the final lap, Joshua said unto the people, as the priests blew the trumpets, and they had a long blow, and the people shouted, the Lord hath given the city into our hands. What happened? The walls of Jericho tumbled down. The practice of the battle, follow the instruction, the command the commander-in-chief has given to us. The will and the way of the Lord need to be correctly followed. Don't bring in your humanistic thoughts and ideas. The worldly wisdom that we accumulate only for our classrooms, for the workplace that you are working or wherever. When you come to the relationship with God, it is His word. It is the revealed will of God. It is the revealed plan of God. And that's why, my dear church, day in and day out, we need to read and study God's word. Don't be satisfied with the Sunday Christians. Don't be just satisfied with Sunday 1 hour or 45 minutes or 30 minutes sermon that we hear. That's why we encourage the Bible study. That's why we encourage prayer meeting. That's why we encourage family prayer. And that's why we encourage daily devotion, study God's word, your own personal devotion. Christian life, solid lives to be built in accordance with God's revealed truth. That is where the will of God, that is where the way of God. God spelled out everything so vividly, so clearly to Joshua. Joshua, this is the way, this is the will that you need to follow. Would you and your people follow it, Joshua? If you do it, there is victory. There is victory. Five things I have spelled out over there as specific application for us. Lessons to be learned from this. Lessons to be learned. Just five things. And you can see that on the screen over there. Number one, when we are in our desperate situations, remember, God never abandons us. When we are in our desperate situations, God never abandons us. Cry out unto God. Go to your secret place. Sit down. Remember to pray as Joshua did. The Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Number two, faith in God is the absolute requirement for victory in life. By faith. And that's why Hebrews chapter 11 stands out. The heroes of faith. Everyone. We have been studying briefly their lives. Everyone. By faith. Abel. By faith. Enoch. By faith. Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses. By faith, Joshua. Faith in God is absolute requirement for victory in life. Have you wholeheartedly, completely surrendered your life, your endeavors on this earth, into the hands of God? Your life, your family's life, your children's life, your relatives' lives, your friends' life, do you remember to pray for them? That is faith. That is faith. Number three, obedience is the compulsory attachment to faith. Obedience. Whatever God spelled out, Joshua did exactly. Nothing more, nothing less. Nothing more, nothing less. I pray, may the Lord give us the wisdom. May the Lord give us the wisdom. Obedience is the compulsory attachment to faith. Faith without works is dead. James 2 verse 20. Put on the whole armor of God. God has specified Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God. Very specific. How we Christians to be prepared in our day-to-day battle. Put on the whole armor of God. You read and study Ephesians 6. You will learn how to fight the battle in life. Number four. When we follow the Lord's instructions, He will fight the battle for us. But this is what? when we follow the Lord's instructions. If you go with your own wisdom, your own rebellious heart, you will end up in total mess, messing up your life. But follow the Lord's instruction. He will fight the battle for us. I have given Jericho into your hand. Joshua, you just go and take it. The Lord has planned our lives so beautifully. We should not be rebellious Christians, but we want to be submissive, obedient, surrendered Christians. Lord, your will, your way, your plan for me, for my family, for my church, I give it into your hands, O Lord. And finally, people's cooperation with the leaders is an important component in the realization of the mission the Lord has called us for. When people stand together with the leadership, not unreasonably criticizing, not unreasonably questioning, but standing with, supporting, praying, that is where victory. Learn it. I believe with Covenant Congregation. Learn this. Support your leaders, your pastor, your elders in the church. Support. Work together. And this was what last Friday we meditated, we studied from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. It is there in our WhatsApp group. Please go through that notes. I spent almost an hour teaching the people who attended over there how the congregation, the members of the church stand together with the leadership as Paul instructed the Corinthian church to avoid unnecessary schism in the church. Learn this. Learn from the life of Joshua. Covenant congregation must learn. Stand together with the leadership. Pray for the leadership. Support the leadership. Not unreasonably questioning and dividing and tearing the unity in the church. That is from the devil. Stand together with the congregation. Stand together, united. Support, pray, work together. That is how we build God's church. That is how we serve the Lord. Let the Almighty God help us. Learn from the way Joshua fought the battle. And let me conclude. In Christian life, there are many fortresses to be destroyed. Fortresses such as faithlessness, fear, self-reliance, pride, arrogance, lustful temptations. You name what are the challenges you face. Many fortresses. What are the fortresses in your life? Identify, my dear brother, my dear sister. What are the walls of Jericho in your life? Self-reliance, pride, arrogance, faithlessness, lustfulness. You name, you identify. But come to the Lord. The Lord is able. The Lord is able to enable you, to be with you, to destroy them and give you the victory. But come to the Lord. Remember to follow the will and the way of the Lord for your life. This is the way of victory for every one of us. May we acknowledge the very presence of the Commander-in-Chief in our lives. And that Commander-in-Chief is none other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you come to Him in faith? As Joshua came, surrendered his life, led his people, won victory for them, captured the promised land from the enemies, and celebrated victory because he identified the Commander-in-Chief, the Lord of the Captain of the Host, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to this world. He gave his life. He gave his life. He saved us. We thank God. We thank God. And we rejoice in his salvation. We trust in him. We march on, trusting in him, obeying him, his will and his way.